My friends in Christ, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. St. Paul's image of an earthen vessel in that reading from 2 Corinthians, so beautifully read, I might add, has its origins in the great creation Genesis story, where God creates us humans from the clay of the earth. That passage has always been a favorite of mine. I'm not sure why, but maybe it's because in my more honest moments, I see how well it describes me. Happily, Jesus has a special place in his heart for earthen vessels. Why else would he have spent so much time with tax collectors and sinners? Why else would he have surrounded himself with the apostles he did, each one of those 12, beginning with Peter and including our great patron, St. James, each one of them, every inch, an earthen vessel? It's true we call St. James our patron, St. James the Greater, but that's only because there was a second James among the 12 and tradition decided on that way of distinguishing between the two. But we should not be misled by the title. Being the Greater didn't make James any greater than the others or any less an earthen vessel. Today's gospel story gives ample evidence of that. Along with his brother John, James approached Jesus to make a very bold request. "See to it," they said, "that we sit, one at your right, the other at your left, when you come in your glory." We can be forgiven for wondering who on earth did they think they were, because that's exactly how the other 10 reacted. They became indignant, Mark tells us, a very strong word, but not a surprising one, given the circumstance. Now, it's worth noting that Matthew's telling of the story in his gospel differs from Mark's. Matthew says that it was the mother of James and John who made the request on behalf of her two sons, forever, I suppose, providing a patron for all good Jewish mothers. So who does get the blame? Well, you know, it doesn't really matter. There was probably enough blame to go around. And if indeed it was the mother who made the request, I'm guessing her sons didn't protest too much. Earthen vessels they were, and Jesus knew it. But notice how gently he treats them, lest they shatter like earthen vessels easily do. Instead of scolding the two, holding them up for reproach, Jesus decides to teach a lesson to all the 12, challenging each of them, but putting no one down. He lets them know that he is inviting them into something altogether new, something unheard of. "You want to be great," he says, "then let go of your grandiose dreams of thrones and glory. Become like me, a servant, not a sovereign. Learn to forget yourselves. Learn to serve others. Do as I do. Lay down your life for others. For," Jesus says, "the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." Years ago, when I first came to St. James, I didn't give a lot of thought to our patron saint, to be honest. My thoughts were more about the parish and the cathedral that just happened to be named St. James. Well, I look at that differently now. That's because, in many ways, the story of St. James the Apostle has become the story of this cathedral parish and the story of each one of us. Being a cathedral is kind of a glorious thing, I guess you could say, and this is a pretty glorious place, but it's not about glory, is it? It's about service. And you know, that's what we've been able to make of this place, a community of people whose first name is St. James, and whose middle name is service. The words up there over our altar, inscribed so boldly, have in many ways become our parish motto, and they say it all. They are Jesus' words, and they became James' words, and now they have become our words. these ones, I am in your midst as one who serves. Most of us know the story and the great legends of St. James. We're familiar with the tradition that he went as far as the farthest northwest corner of Spain to preach the gospel, forever earning for himself the title Patron of Pilgrims. But as I see it, the most important pilgrimage James made was more personal than geographical. James' real pilgrimage was the one he made from seeking a throne in glory to living a life poured out in loving service of others. Today, pilgrims from all over the world follow in St. James' footsteps by doing what is called the Camino, taking time out of their lives to make the long and demanding trek from the Pyrenees all the way to the Atlantic, crossing northern Spain to Santiago de Compostela. They do so for many different reasons: religious, spiritual, physical, psychological, personal. A motley crew they are too, but no more motley than we, no more motley than the church. My friends, not all of us are able to travel to Spain, certainly none of us these days. None of us gets to make the great Camino now. But on this, our patronal feast day, I would challenge and encourage you to make the Camino, the journey St. James made when he let go of selfish dreams and began to dream more generous dreams, the dream of serving others. This is a journey we can all make. It's a journey we must all make. And it's a journey, if we make it, will be the making of us. Just as the Eucharist, which this beautiful group of young people are about to receive for the first time, will be the making of them.